I have received a question. The question assumes that all that you have been talking about so far is fine. Let us say that the divine life on the earth is rationally justified. Fine. That's what you have been trying to do. But now the question is how to go about it. What's the practical means of doing it? Granted that we are convinced rationally that God exists, how to realize Him practically, how to touch Him, how to unite oneself with Him. I am very happy with the question because it's a logical question that should arise once we arrive at the conclusion of the first chapter. How to do it? By doing it. That's the first answer, by doing it. And if you agree, we shall take up this question next. So I want to read with you the first chapter of the Synthesis of Yoga, because that is an answer to the question, how to do it, how to arrive at the union with the Divine. So this is the program I put forward before you. If you agree, we shall go to it. All right. In fact, these two books should be read simultaneously, like the two wings of a bird. We fly with the help of these two wings, on the one hand Life Divine, on the other Synthesis of Yoga. So this will be our method throughout these 10 years that we have set apart. We shall be flying in this way. So next time when you come, you bring two books with you, Life Divine and Synthesis of Yoga, both the books. We shall sometimes refer to this book, sometimes to that book. In my personal case, this question came to me after finishing the whole of the Life Divine. When I had read the whole of the Life Divine, then this question arose. Because my mind was greatly trained by Bertrand Russell. So I was greatly in a state of skepticism. This is what Sri Aurobindo says now here at the end of this chapter, was really my state of my mind. I made my great attempt to close the questions which are found to be insoluble. I made a great effort to see that these questions don't arise by saying that these questions, even if they arise, we acknowledge these questions exist, but since they cannot be answered, let us close the chapter. They can't be answered. Let us now turn to immediate questions. And one of the immediate questions that was in my mind at that time was poverty of India. That was immediate question of India. Poverty of India. In fact, many people in India, if you ask them the question, what is the most important question of India, they'll say poverty of India. And what is the best work we can do? It is to remove the poverty of India. Many young people in India have this program in their life. They love their country very much, they want to do something very important for their country, and they want to devote themselves to the removal of poverty of India. If I had not read the Life Divine, I would have been even now engaged in that task without success. Because I know now that you cannot eradicate the poverty of India or of the world in for that matter, because poverty is not only a phenomenon of India, it's a universal phenomenon. Even in America there are people who are very poor. Russia is very poor. In every country there are pockets of poverty. I very often refer to a very fine sentence of U Thant. It's a Burmese name. He's Burmese, from Burma. He was, at that time, that is in 1967, when he made this statement, he was Secretary General of United Nations Organization. Secretary General of UNO, United Nations Organization. He was Secretary General, that is to say one of the top men of UNO. And he made a very important statement. And when this statement was shown to the mother, she was very pleased with this statement. And she wrote a letter to him in answer to this statement. So it's a very important statement. I have given the full text of this letter of U Thant, the statement of U Thant, in one of my books called Bhagavad Gita and Contemporary Crisis. It's a book I have written. It consists of four stories. Bhagavad Gita and Contemporary Crisis. So there is one statement there I have quoted from U Thant. The statement I cannot quote just now because the book is not before me, but I shall tell you what it said. He said, even a common man in the street knows that the amount of money which is being spent on production of armaments a fraction of that amount is sufficient to feed the people of the world. So if the question is only of feeding the people, which is of course a very important problem, then the one solution is to stop armaments. You decide that you are not going to use armaments at all, then all that money is available and you can feed the people, no poverty. It's an easy solution. Why is it not such an easy thing at all to do? That means the poverty is not the basic problem. Poverty can be resolved if something else is done, namely to prevent people from manufacture of armaments. And how do you do it? By what alchemy, by what medicine you can prevent people from producing armaments? So he himself says, if this means change of consciousness, then let us work on it. That's why Mother wrote an answer to that letter and said, appreciating what he had said, the real problem is not poverty. The real problem is change of consciousness. If you turn the minds of people from armaments, then a lot of money is available already. The world is producing enough food today to feed the whole population of the world very easily. So the question is, how to change the consciousness? This is the problem. And this is the problem that Sri Aurobindo answers in the synthesis of yoga. How to change the consciousness? But this question in my own life came only after my reading the whole of the Life Divine. We are very fortunate that this question is arising after reading the very first chapter of the Life Divine. So that means from evolution point of view, you are far ahead. Just after reading the first chapter, this question comes up. So we shall take up this question, let us say on the 11th of September.